My text this morning is from the Gospel we've just heard, from chapter 11 of St. Luke, verse 16. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
In today's lesson, our Lord heals a man possessed by a devil. The physical sign or manifestation of this possession is the man cannot speak. He's dumb. The result of the healing is that the man regains his ability to speak. The event is public and widely noticed, so that the people wondered at the healing. The crowd is amazed by what Christ has done. We're told that our Lord's enemies attribute the miracle that he has wrought to the power of the devil, that he's used a spiritual evil influence for this. He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. As you may know, Beelzebub is a deliberate distortion of the name of a Canaanite god, Beelzebul, which means, or Baal-Zebul, which means lord of the house, and the Jews changed the last letter from bull to bub, which means the lord of the flies. So much of what follows in today's lesson is our Lord responding to this charge from his enemies. This much of the lesson is fairly typical of the Gospels. Jesus often heals people. Those who hate Christ claim that he has used diabolical powers or is wicked, and all that then is business as usual. What strikes me as the strange thing about the lesson is the other reaction that some different people show towards the healing. That second reaction is stated in my text. And others tempting him, or testing him, trying to figure things out about him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Now that is strange. Our Lord has just healed a man in a spectacular and public way, and yet people want from him a sign. Well, what on earth was the healing they just saw, right? Was it chopped liver? You know, was this nothing? Surely this is a sign. Why do they want another sign when they've just seen one? So what's going on here? To understand the problem, I think we have to consider what a sign is. In the Gospels, a sign and a miracle are somewhat different. They're two different words. A miracle is a supernatural event, or an event that suspends or contradicts the normal natural laws and the normal course of things in our world. If I were to appear simultaneously, physically, in two different places, and I weren't a hologram, that would be a miracle. That would be something contrary to nature. A sign is something that points to something else. A sign signifies. It has a meaning which has to be interpreted and understood. Now, in our society, an octagonal piece of red metal on a pole at a street corner means stop your car, right? So that's a sign. Now, that's because we've decided. We all understand and agree that's what it means. It could be a six-sided orange sign, or it could be something. It could be a hand held up, a picture of a hand on a piece of metal. That could mean it. But we have agreed, so we have this conventional sign. So some signs are miracles and some signs aren't. Likewise, some miracles are signs and some aren't. God may suspend the laws of nature, which is a miracle, and nobody knows that's happened. We might have a miraculous healing of an illness, which we didn't know about, we didn't understand, but which God did. That would be a miracle, but it wouldn't signify anything because nobody understands or is able to interpret what has happened. Likewise, we could have a sign that isn't a miracle. Well, I mean, a beautiful sunset, a beautiful, kind human deed, those are signs. They suggest something. They point to something, but they're not particularly miraculous. They're natural and normal things. A beautiful piece of music, a perfect sunset can be a sign, but not a miracle. Now, normally, our Lord's miracles are signs. He does something supernatural, people understand it, the miracle points to his glory. The first miracle that he does in St. John's Gospel is changing water to wine. And we're told at the end of the story, this beginning of miracles to Jesus at Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So it is the word in English is miracle, but in Greek the word is this beginning of signs did Jesus, and the disciples understand it, and it causes them to believe on his glory. So the sign has worked. It's pointed to what it's supposed to point to, and it's been understood. So normally the signs or miracles point to the glory of Christ, his divinity, his power, his compassion. So a miracle is only a sign when it leads to faith. That's, I think, the key point here. You can have a miracle if it's not understood, if it is seen by someone who does not understand it, then it is not a sign. Someone once said, Father Cotterill, my former assistant, used to say, for those with faith, no miracle is necessary. For those without faith, no miracle is possible. Right? They could see a miracle and they wouldn't believe it or understand it. They would find some explanation to explain it away. So in this lesson, Christ has worked a miracle when he healed a man who couldn't speak. But his enemies fail to understand the meaning of that healing. It doesn't point them to anything. It doesn't lead them to faith. It failed to signify what it was supposed to. Our Lord explains this all a little bit later in this same chapter 11 of Luke, just after the point where our lesson lets off. In verses 29 and 30, he says, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For Jonas was a sign to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be for this generation." The prophet Jonah in the Old Testament condemned the people of Nineveh as sinners, and they accepted his preaching, and they repented. So what our Lord is saying here is that the people who saw his miracle of healing failed to understand its point. They didn't read the sign. Our Lord's sign points to his glory, and that in turn shows the legitimacy of his call, which is a call, like that of John the Baptist, to repent of your sins and convert. We should repent and convert. Our lesson tells us that the people saw the miracle and were amazed, but not that they repented and converted, or indeed that they concluded they should pay attention to Christ in general. Instead, they either say he's a devil, or they say, "No, entertain us, show us something else, show us another sign." So he says this is the tendency of an evil generation. The people who see the miracle are either condemning our Lord as a devil, or they trivialize him by asking for more stunts. The second group want to be titillated and amazed, but, says our Lord, there shall no sign be given it. Enough, no more. You've had the sign, now believe. Well, let's apply this to ourselves. God has dealt with us plainly and consistently. He gives us plenty of signs and evidences of his care and love. He may or may not give us more signs of the sort we would like. But then again, he may only give us the sign of Jonas, which is a call to repent and enter his kingdom in humility and obedience. It is not for us to tempt God and to try his patience by demanding that he entertain or obey us. Our duty is to accept and follow him. To that end, our lesson today is a sign. It is a call from God to us. He himself is the sign pointing us to heaven, and we don't really need anything more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.